Hey, we seem to be on the radio. Hey, we seem to be on TV. What? Oh, what happened to her? We lost Melissa already. Get Melissa back there if you would. Today, April 10th, talking about the early history of El Paso. And so, good morning and welcome to the El Paso History Radio Show. Now live on KTSM AM 690. And we're also streaming live on Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show. And streaming live on the Facebook page, Remember in El Paso When. So this is the place where we say Texas history begins in El Paso. And we need to talk to somebody here. Who do we got here? Is this Bernie?
Yes, sir. Sure is.
Hey, Bernie, you just sounded kind of muffled. Where are you?
I'm at my home office right now.
Your home office. I see that. Get Melissa to ring us back in. We got both of you guys in your home office this morning. And I guess it's a matter of you guys are going to have to explain what's going on here. We've got people also able to find us on Melissa, bring us back. We have people to find us streaming live on the Internet also on KTSMradio.com. So Melissa needs to call back. So there.
Yeah, she's trying.
Okay, fair enough. Andrew, see what you can get over there in the way of phone calls. Here's the thing. We got both Bernie and Melissa. Melissa looks like she may be here, but she's not. That's a pretty good picture there, right? You got there, Andrew. There she is. All right, shall I put her on? You put her on? Fair enough. Starting off kind of rough here. Yeah, we got you now, I think, Melissa. Let me put you on here. We got Melissa now? You sure do.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're echoing like crazy. You got to take off your something. I don't know what. But
I got it. Well, let me switch. Okay.
Can you imagine the communications business we're in?
There, how's that? Is that better?
Yeah, I can still hear you echoing behind somewhere. Are you near Bernie?
I do.
Yeah, you know why? It's because I'm sitting next to her.
You guys may need to move away a little bit. And while you're doing that, one of you explain why you're not in the studio, even though, Melissa, we made it look like you are.
Yeah, well, I'm hunkered down. Bernie and I are hunkered down at the house because we got exposed to the C-19 or the COVID-19.
Oh,
and so
God.
We're just sheltered in place for a while. We're both healthy and doing well.
Well, that's good. Now, you did that after you left the radio station last weekend, right?
Yes, I did.
So there's none of that at the radio show because they were worried about what happened here. Nothing. So you guys, well, good luck.
That happened way after we had a situation. So
okay, well, good luck with it. Well, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good. I got a little bit, you know, kind of a chest cold, and then it went away real quick. So today I'm 100% better, except they just won't let you out of the house.
Well, no, that's the deal there. So you got a history moment today?
Yes, I do. I have one, and it's all about culture that finally came to El Paso when they opened the doors of the Meyer Opera House.
Meyer Opera House. Now, the opera was a big deal back in that day. I guess we'll hear more about that in your History Moment second hour. But today, the idea is to talk about a recap of the early history of El Paso with historian Bernie Sargent. Where is he?
I'm here.
Oh, I knew that. So, Bernie,
I'm residing in the kitchen right now.
Oh, I see. We say separation of church and state and wife, I think, is what you got to do this morning. In case you're just joining us, we got Bernie and Melissa on the phone. Although, Melissa, what do you think? How do you think what we did there with your picture that's up on Facebook? You see that?
I haven't been on Facebook because I've been fighting with Zoom.
I'll get back to it. We were trying to do a Zoom call as well. We dropped that for the moment. I'll have to go back and figure that out. Anyway, the idea is the early history of El Paso. Bernie, you and I have been talking about this for a while. And we cooked up, 35 different pictures. And we're gonna show them in order on the Facebook page. The idea is you and I sort of picked what we thought would be interesting in the way of El Paso history moments, not so much like Melissa does, but El Paso history over the time. And we're not gonna please everybody because some of them, you know, big ones, maybe we'll miss like Chamizal. We didn't put that in a picture, but we'll talk about it. Things like that went on. So we got like Franklin Mountains, Keystone, Waco tanks, things like that. So let's get into this. Let's talk about the Franklin Mountains because you and I did the very first video we did for ABC7 that's now archived on youtube.com/El Paso History TV. The very first one we did was on the Franklin Mountains. Do you remember what we did on that, or just talk about the Franklins in general as an historic part of the city?
Yeah, I'm going to come back here to my computer so I can talk a little bit more intelligently on the Franklins. Yeah, we were talking about what's the Franklins all about. You know, for instance, most people know that there's at least 52 hiking trails on there. There's 30 of those are moderate, so that would, you know, folks like us could handle them. And the Franklins are referred to as a tilted block fault mountain. And they're about a billion years old with pre-Cumbrian rocks, the oldest in Texas. So we have, you know, the first in Texas at the Franklin Mountains.
If you want to see,
and they were formed during what they refer to as the Laramide Mountain Building Period.
If you want
Cretaceous.
If you want to see a
build, of you,
you can't hear me, can you?
Of age, it was 60 to 70 million years ago.
Well, hey, Bernie, here's the thing. The billion-year-old rocks, if you want to go look at them, go look at the east side of the mountain where the A for Austin High School is located. Those rocks mm-hmm. are a billion years old, the ones you see sticking up. And you can see their sedimentary rocks looking at you. And so the other side of the mountain is the one that was flat desert lifted up at that area of the mountain. So that's kind of one thing. And what it does for El Paso history, it divides the city, basically. And it's the tip of the Rockies and all that kind of stuff, so however you want to phrase that. Let's move on to Keystone. Keystone was a very interesting place. Now, Keystone is something you've been involved with ever since it popped up as a subject. How long has that been?
Well, I started working on protecting that area, unbeknownst to me and a lot of other people, that was significant in that there was a Middle Archaic archaeological site there, initially 11 acres. It's now been expanded to about 17 acres, and that dates back to 4,500 years ago, roughly the time that they were building the first pyramid, Great Pyramid, in Egypt. We had a Native American community, a little clan that lived there, upwards of 40 to 50 pit houses.
And we see on the air, on Facebook, we're building one now. You see guys building one. And then we go to rabbits and how they used to hunt, and you see the pit house in the back. All right, keep going.
Yeah, and so we started working on this because the railroad wanted to put a switching yard on that property, and unbeknownst, as I mentioned, to most of us, we had a significant Middle Archaic period archaeological site sitting there. And then subsequently we learned that there was also wetlands adjacent to it. You know, if you look at that particular area of the valley, of the upper valley, it's an area that had bosque along the Rio Grande River. The Rio Grande River at that point in time, most experts surmise that it was approximately where Donovan Drive is right now. And I guess it's inherent that for a long time, Donovan would also flood, which it tried to return back to its natural state. But we learned about the Ark site. We learned about the wetlands. And then there was a gentleman came by, and he bought that property, and he wanted to do some developing on it. And that's when the alarm bells went off, and we decided to start trying to raise the monies to buy that property and do something more constructive with it that would be advantageous to the community as a whole, where we could share the history, the heritage, the culture of that particular little geographic area for everybody to enjoy in perpetuity. And that was about 23 years ago. We started working on what became Keystone Heritage Park.
I went to see the developer, and he was kind of getting angry that somebody was going to stop his development. I said, look, what we're going to do, sir, is to make a commercial, basically, in a documentary form for air on El Paso Station, which we did, called El Paso's Keystone Site. I said, we're going to make a commercial to sell your property. You'll make the money. And I don't think he understood that till the money came in. But you guys, what you did, you went and got TxDOT grant money. You went and got Community Foundation involved. And you ended up buying a property from the guy.
Yeah, it was one of those Christmas miracles.
Yeah.
We all celebrate the one from 2,000 years ago. But we had one on our own out here more recent. And that, in that, we went to TxDOT, and we wanted to get a grant from them to purchase as much property as we possibly could. And the stipulation from the grant was two things. One was we had to have a 10% match. And so, you know, we were looking at $1.2 million. So we had to come up with $120,000. And it also had to belong to a municipality. And so one, I guess it was a Friday before Christmas, I was waiting anxiously for the Meadows Foundation in Dallas-Fort Worth area to come back to us and let us know if we had been able to get a portion of the match. Now, when I went in and submitted the grant request, I was told by people much more adept at grant writing than myself, never ask for over $100,000. So I went in and asked for
$99,000. And it worked?
Yeah, and just shaving below the max. And it was Friday before Christmas, I got a call from a young lady that's the program manager at the Meadows Foundation, and she goes, "Hey, I got some good news, and I've got some good news." I went, "Okay, well, give me the good news first."
Right.
He goes, "Well, yeah, we're gonna give you the money." He said, "But we're sitting in the meeting, and the powers to be at the Meadows Foundation said, why are they only asking for 99? And so when they found out that we needed 120, that's what they gave us.
Oh, cool.
And so we were able to procure the property and then immediately sign the deed over to the city of El Paso.
Well,
so ultimately what ended up happening is we were the caretaker, so to speak, for that property in perpetuity for a very minor lease arrangement with the city. We have to raise the money. We have to do everything to manage, maintain, and develop that property, which is kind of a nice arrangement because it frees us up to do a lot more things a lot more quickly by being the caretakers, managers of that property.
Well, that's how I met you. I saw you on TV trying to save this thing. I thought, well, I'll go to one meeting and see what happens. And I thought, well, if they're going to chain themselves to the bulldozers, I'm not going to get involved in this. But you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You said you were going to raise the money and buy it from the developers, so he comes out whole. And I'm sure he's happy about it. I haven't talked to him about it in several years, but I think he's okay with it. And then the thing, because he made his money, right?
More so, yes. He bought 99 acres. We ended up procuring, I believe it was about 46 from him, somewhere in that area, because some of it couldn't be developed anyway, so it had to either just lay there dormant or be donated,
so,
which he was able to take a tax write-off.
It wasn't like you're...
Because
it wasn't like you're trying to chain yourself to the bulldozer. I saw some people in the group that wanted to do that. But, you know,
yeah. That's
nuts. All right, that's a good thing you guys did, and you're still working on Keystone, right, yourself?
All the time, yeah. It's a constant project. But, you know, it's worthwhile. I think that what we've come out of with the Keystone Heritage Site Park is different areas that people can enjoy different aspects of the desert, the Chihuahuan Desert. You know, for instance, we feature plant lives of the deserts, indigenous plants, so people can learn what would grow in their property for a minimal amount of maintenance. We also had taken a bird count from a little over 120 species to over 220 species of birds that frequent or live permanently at Keystone. And, you know, we're doing some other things, like we're right now with the assistance of a nice donation from the electric company. We are, Paso Electric, we are now putting together what we call a Paraje exhibit.
Oh, good.
And what that is you know, when you're traveling across country, you typically would stop at a rest stop, you know, restrooms and internet. Well, we're not going to have the restroom or the internet, but we're going to have a replication of what those rest stops would have looked like in the 1700s when folks were exploring and trying to develop this part of the world.
Up and down the Camino Real. All right, let's move on before we take a break here. Let's talk about Waco tanks. We've got a picture of that I took out of an airplane. I flew that for the documentary. It drove me crazy. That shot you see there is the only it's a 3-second shot. I froze a video that we're putting up now. That took me one entire airplane ride, and I got a 3-second shot that I had to reverse going backwards to use. Shooting out of an airplane is nuts. Nowadays with drones, boy, I would love to have had drones back in the day of shooting those documentaries. And I'm talking about El Paso's Waco Tanks, the TV documentary that's on the YouTube channel that we have. That's youtube.com/El Paso History TV. And that picture up there, but also we have some petroglyphs that we found in the caves up in there. Now, talk about for a moment, as we go to break, got about a minute and a half. As we go to break, talk about the historic significance of Waco Tanks.
Well, if you look at Waco Tanks, you know, what it is a Waco is a little bowl, so to speak, where water would collect. So it became a watering stop over eons, so to speak. We know that it dates back 5,000 years ago where there was natives traveling in and around the area and animal life was using those hollow places in the rocks for drinking. We also know that it was along the route, the Butterfield Trail, and there on the east side of the Waco Tanks was the Escontrias Ranch, and we have a picture of the ranch house that was used as a Butterfield stop. And it was also, you know, if you look at what Jackson and I worked on many years ago, the Huff wagon train, they had parked there. William T. Huff had parked there on his way from Houston to the gold fields of California. But unfortunately, in the middle of the night, the person who was supposed to be keeping an eye on the livestock decided to take a nap. And the natives that were in the area stole all the provisions and their livestock. So they had to basically just hoof it down to Socorro, raise the money to re-equip their wagon train, and then continue their trip west. But that was just east of the Waco tanks.
We have that loaded up for later in this show today, the wagon train. We'll see that. Got to take a break here. We'll come back and talk about conquistadors with Bernie and Melissa. And they're here, but they're not here. You'll notice Melissa is very stiff in that picture that's on the air right now on Facebook. That's because it's a freeze frame from last week, I think. I'm sorry. We're just doing what we can with the technology. It's kind of weird. And we'll get to everything in a minute. But, Melissa, have you been looking at the Facebook page by any chance to see who's up?
Can you hear me? I've been
No, you're coming. You're not coming in on the phone call. You're coming in on my Zoom call. All right, we'll take a break and come back and figure that out. Doing so, 544-KTSM, if you want to give us a call, 544-5876. We shall return with this technological wonder in a minute or two. Go ahead.
Pepe's New Mexico.
Radio show, which airs live on KTSM AM 690 in El Paso, Texas, and live right here now on our El Paso History Radio Show page on Facebook.com.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
This radio show is now streaming on the Facebook page, Remember in El Paso When, run by Barbara Given Bainey. We still archive the audio of these radio shows on ephistory.com. And you can go there online and find our radio shows for the last several years. Go to ephistory.com and access the El Paso History Radio Show archives for every Saturday radio show back to early 2016.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/ElPasoHistoryTV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso. Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
You are listening to a break in our Facebook streaming of the El Paso History Radio Show, which airs live on KTSM AM 690 in El Paso, Texas, and live with video right here on our El Paso History Radio Show page on Facebook.com. Our live streaming on Facebook started on November 21st, 2020, with our tribute to Leon Metz, which you can now listen to here on our Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show. Scroll down our page to find that archive in our videos section. You are listening to a break in our Facebook streaming of the El Paso History Radio Show, which airs live on KTSM AM 690 in El Paso, Texas, and live right here now on our El Paso History Radio Show page on Facebook.com.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio.
Got a lot going on here. We'll get to some ideas on who's been watching out there. There's a lot of people from all over the country looking at us right now. And thank you for your patience with us. We're doing a Zoom call on the side that you guys don't know about. So Melissa and I can see each other while she's at home doing her thing. We'll let you know. You can also send an email anytime during the show to ephistory690@gmail.com. You want to get a hold of us. Otherwise, comment on the Facebook page. And it's El Paso History Radio Show on Facebook, streaming live there. And also, we have weekly promos and announcements on the program there each week. And everything's archived there. All the shows we've done since November 21st are on that page. You can go back and look at anything we've done. We also have a TV channel to see for free videos about El Paso history. That's youtube.com/El Paso History TV. My El Paso Gold DVD series is on there. I've been doing those for 20 years. And it's online to view for free, youtube.com, El Paso History TV. Also, the 20 segments that Bernie and I did, we talked about that briefly. We put those on ABC7 TV series El Paso History TV, on the same channel. And there's stuff we did that actually aired in their broadcasts, which is kind of cool. Also, last week, you may remember that Nora commented on some of our documentaries. Well, I've been reading some of the comments as we go. She commented on the TV documentaries about that channel. Well, she got into it again this week, apparently, with a comment about a video lecture that we did, recorded back in June 2013. It was a Texas Trost lecture in El Paso at Burgess House, a historical society. Melissa Iris ran that, and Nora's comment was, El Paso has stupidly destroyed so much of its history, and that is accurate. Then yesterday, she got...
Hey, what's your feed look like? I can't get the...
Hey, we're hearing you, Melissa. So just remember, you're talking on the air here. Yesterday, April 9th, we got a comment on one of the shorter videos on YouTube, El Paso Mr. TV. Connie Webster, I believe the name is, she commented about the 9-minute video, The Spirit of El Paso's Mission Trail. Love it. It's so pretty in San Elizario. You can feel the cool breeze from nearby waters on the river. Plus, I like the fiestas during summer and friendly people. And Connie kept going. She found another video to watch. The First Camino Real in America, that's 14 minutes, all on that same page on YouTube, by the way. And Connie said on the YouTube channel, women were brave, too, and helped with the caravans. One lady named Eugenia, she thinks that's what her name was, she was instrumental in assisting people under difficult circumstances. Well, yes. Subscribe out there if you want to, El Paso History TV. You go to YouTube.com, search El Paso History TV. Okay, I finally got to the end of that page. Your turn.
You finally got there, huh?
Yes.
Okay. I want people to mark their calendar for the Centennial Museum. The camp on campus is going to have their Flora Fest, which is a great flower festival where you can go buy plants, learn about plants, and this is going to be on April 17th and 18th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. both days, and it's going to be held at the Leech Grove on UTEP campus this time this year, because they can't have it back in the other area where they usually have it. So you can go online and look for plant lists and more at florafest.org or call them at 747-5565.
Are you there? Okay.
I'm here. Are you hearing me? Oh, okay.
What are you finding on Facebook? We've got all kinds of people. Angie Salazar.
Well, I got Keith Erickson. Keith Erickson's on there. Fernando Bueno. Mary Pugh Kirschenbaum. Those are some new names. John Wayne Smith. I keep waiting for him to call up someday. And Charles Rucker.
Louis Panato is in.
People out there.
Louis Panato is in Colorado City, Texas. Wherever that is. Hey, oh, here's somebody.
Oh, yeah, that's east of that's between here and Dallas.
Here's another one from Riverside, California. Robert Pettis. And then Angie, of course, is up in Colorado. Margie Davis. I'm trying to talk. People are yelling at me all over the place. I got another one in the control. By the way, Andrew, thank you in the control room for doing what you're doing. We have a weird setup today because we have not only our guest, but our co-host is off-site. So if you're looking at Facebook and you're waiting for Melissa to move, she's not going to move.
She's dead on arrival there.
No, she's frozen. You're not dead. You're just frozen.
I'm a bigger dummy than usual.
Well, whatever. No, you're not bad. It's just that you're not going to move. And the other guy just popped up. That's Bernie Sargent. So we'll talk more about the people on Facebook in a bit. Let's talk about what we got going on here, Bernie. We got through Waco tanks, and I think we ended up with conquistadors. Conquistadors, they showed up before Oñati, but he was like the main dude, right? What happened to Bernie?
Okay, I had to unmute myself.
Oh, there you are. So, Bernie, conquistadors.
Yeah, conquistadors. Yeah, or conquerors, I guess, when you translate conquistadors.
Oh.
And, mostly people would think about conquistadors, they think about Cortez with the Aztecs, and what took place there. As it turns out, Oñate was related to one of the gentlemen who came in with Cortez, and that's who helped fund his adventure, so to speak, going north from the southern portions of the state of Chihuahua, going north ultimately just a little bit north of Santa Fe. And a whole lot of things took place. And you can see in that picture where people are, you know, the conquistadors are wearing the metal plates. That was one of the interesting things about when they came through here, and the reason why they were able to defeat the natives that lived in the area that at the time were in control is because they had the armament, they had the blunderbusses, so to speak, the old weapons, they had the lances, the crossbows, and they also, fortunately for them, got a lot of support from other local natives who did not like the leaderships that were in place at the time. Had they not had that kind of support, they may not have been able to overthrow Montezuma and some of the other leaders in the Western Hemisphere.
Well, you also,
so it, you know, it was a combination of things.
Bernie, you may remember, they also showed up at a very predicted time in the history of Mexico. The people who lived in Mexico were waiting for the return, I believe, of Quetzalcoatl on a certain day at a certain time, and guess who shows up? The Spanish conquistadors showed up on that day, and so after, you know, looking for these guys for decades and decades, and they show up on the same day as the prediction, they said, well, that must be the new guys we're looking for. Turns out it wasn't.
Milagro.
Ah, yeah, bad news, dudes. All right, we'll get to First Thanksgiving when we come back, taking a break here. What's that phone number, Melissa?
They can call us at 915-584-05. Oh, excuse me, wrong number. Call Keystone. I've got too many numbers on my head today.
Okay, try.
Call 544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
You
are listening to a break in our Facebook streaming of the El Paso History Radio Show, which airs live on KTSM AM 690 in El Paso, Texas, and live right here now on our El Paso History Radio Show page on Facebook.com.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
This radio show is now streaming on the Facebook page, Remember in El Paso When, run by Barbara Given Bainey. We still archive the audio of these radio shows on ephistory.com. And you can go there online and find our radio shows for the last several years. Go to ephistory.com and access the El Paso History Radio Show archives for every Saturday radio show back to early 2016.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/ElPasoHistoryTV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso. Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
You are listening to a break in our Facebook streaming of the El Paso History Radio Show, which airs live on KTSM AM 690 in El Paso, Texas, and live with video right here on our El Paso History Radio Show page on Facebook.com. Our live streaming on Facebook started on November 21st, 2020, with our tribute to Leon Metz, which you can now listen to here on our Facebook page, El Paso History Radio Show. Scroll down our page to find that archive in our videos section. You are listening to a break in our Facebook streaming of the El Paso History Radio Show, which airs live on KTSM AM 690 in El Paso, Texas, and live right here now on our El Paso History Radio Show page on Facebook.com.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso.
Life in the fast lane here, folks. We're doing radio. We're back on, guys. Celebration of Mountains 2021 programs. You can go to Vista Valle and Border Canyon Petroglyphs. I have no idea where that is, but next Sunday, Sunday the 18th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. You guys are feeding back on us in the office there, Bernie. Anyway, Celebration of Mountains, get a hold of Diego, 525-7364, diegotolbert@gmail.com. So get a hold of them on that. Melissa, what do you got? You got the group of people that we're talking about, right?
Your Zoom.
Yeah, no, the group of... The group of people who are our sponsors.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. We're going to have feedback here. So, okay, hold on. All right. Here's a reminder to support our advertisers, and you can now connect with our friends at Monterey Asset Management on their website at 1m1ep.com, or you can give them a call at 915-592-4549. Mission Del Rey Southwest is our other great sponsor, and they're located at 1421 Lee Trevino Drive, Suite A7, and they're open today, and they have the largest selection of Southwest decor, Native American jewelry, souvenirs, and more in El Paso, and you can shop online at missiondelrey.com or call them at 915-440-2140. Pepe's Restaurant in Kenya Tia is open today for in-house dining. They're located at 6761 Donovan Drive. Call Pepe's at 877-2152 for catering or to have a pickup order. And it is the home of the one and only margarita and the best chicken sopa in the area. And that's my personal
You like
favorite.
That one, yeah.
And if you're looking to sell or buy or rent a home, then you need to call Patrick Tuttle at Legacy Real Estate Services. And his number is 915-588-1850, and you won't be disappointed.
No, he's good.
Plus,
yes.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And don't forget, we have a new sponsor, and his name is Ralph Dickerson with State Farm, and he's like a good neighbor, but with a better phone number, 915-581-0000.
You can remember that one, can't you?
Yeah, that's an easy one. My number was like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, very simple. I bet he worked on that one anyway. All right, talking to Bernie Sargent as well as Melissa, co-hosting from a closet somewhere. You guys are in your office, I guess, right? But
yeah, I'm in my office.
All right, Bernie, first Thanksgiving what came as part of what Oñate did, and some people think it was not a Thanksgiving, although he said a mass of Thanksgiving, which is why Sheldon Hall, back in his day, grabbed on that as a PR idea, an item, and promoted it as the first Thanksgiving and got really a lot of recognition for the Mission Trail by doing that, didn't he?
Yeah, he certainly did. He even got himself locked up when he went back to Massachusetts to debate the first Thanksgiving theory that he had put together, which to me makes a lot of sense because even though we call it a latoma, and it was like the taking of the land for the king of Spain, Philip II, but it took place over 20 years before the pilgrims celebrated their Thanksgiving or their version of it. And so we take umbrage that we had the first Thanksgiving here, not too far from San Elizario, down by what's called, Chicken Ranch Road at the very end down there.
I think the picture that we have up, I think that's you over there cooking a pig. I'm not sure. It looks just like you. But anyway, that's on Facebook. If you want.
Going hog wild. What can I say?
Yeah, indeed. We're doing this radio show like we've always done for 20 years plus. And we're also now streaming it live on Facebook. So when we talk about pictures, that's where they are. You go to facebook.com/El Paso History Radio Show, and you'll see me there hanging out doing stuff. Oh, which camera am I on? This camera's all over this room. Anyway, and the thing about that is Melissa is also not here, even though we're showing you here, Melissa, which I think is kind of funny.
Yes. I'm here in spirit.
You are, but there you are also on the air. Hey, how many people have we got looking at us? You, Zachary, what's that guy's name? Zachary Sokolowski.
Zachary Sokolowski. He's Buenos Dias from Central El Paso.
All the way from Central, yes. We got a lot of people on there.
Oh, wait, no, I take that back. That's Central, that's Central time. He's someplace back east, but he's in Central time, so he's not here in El Paso.
Jamie Kopenberger.
We had 6,800 people, over 6,800 people looking at the site. It has been good turnout for everybody.
That's great. And people
I'm bouncing back and forth here. So.
People should remember they can also go back after the fact and watch the whole show. And audio is clean, clear radio audio. And the pictures are whatever we can throw up there, basically. Now, we're getting better.
Can I mention something real quick?
Sure.
Daryl Henson from Schertz, Texas. Now, interesting thing is Schertz, Texas is where our son-in-law's parents live. So hello, Dale, from up here in El Paso, Texas.
Well, the technology is going crazy. We'll be all over the planet soon. Oh, wait a minute. We already are.
I love it.
But, hey, look at the next picture there, number 9, Bernie. The Camino Real that goes through El Paso starts in the U.S. of A., basically at San Elizario, like you mentioned, Chicken Ranch Road. And it comes up through right on the border. Once upon a time, that Camino Real was all in what became Old Mexico. Then the river moved. We'll get to that in a couple of pictures. But the Camino Real through El Paso is listed there, and you can see it goes right around the front of the mountain and on up into New Mexico. And that's Camino Real is a fabulous road. Talk about that.
Yeah, it's we have 42 miles of it through El Paso County. It's the shortest stretch of all the counties, Chihuahua and New Mexico. El Paso is 42 miles. But the exciting thing about that, now, I like to share with people, imagine this. You've got a gentleman with, he's got like 150 mares, 400 soldiers, 130 families, 1,000 head of cattle, 1,000 head of sheep, marching north from southern Chihuahua State, heading up towards Santa Fe. Some people estimate that group of people and animals could extend out to 7 miles. That's how long that whole diatribe.
We lost Bernie. But it would say, Bernie, I don't know what happened to you. You kicked your mute button or something. Anyway, you're right, though. It would string out as far as 7 miles when they let all those people out of there. Okay, next picture up there we've got is a Camino Real and a grass hut. And that would be the kind of thing that the people encountered. Are we losing him, Andrew? We lost somebody there. We lost.
He's gone.
Bernie bit the dirt.
He's calling back.
All right, fair enough. We'll get him in a second. But the thing is, that next picture there is the Camino Real route that you can see all the way. Originally, I think Oñate started out from Zacatecas. So, and the actual Camino Real goes from Mexico City. And if you want to really back up further, it goes from Veracruz to Mexico City all the way up through here. Next week, by the way, we have El Borrego on, and he's going to talk about the Camino Real from his perspective in San Elizario. He looks at it both ways in a big way. We often just look north, but he's explored Mexico and figured out what they have done down there. So we'll see him from him next week. And moving on up to the top of New Mexico, you can see that picture that we have up there now. That's a very long road. About 1,600 miles, and that whole thing is the Camino Real. And what's neat is it's the very first Camino Real. We got Bernie back. That's the very first Camino Real that came out of Mexico. You got them all over southern Texas. You got them all over California. But the very first Camino Real that happened came right through here. How about that, huh, Bernie?
Yeah. Well, there were seven of them. We're the oldest and the longest of the seven, which is kind of a neat little thing to be able to look back and say. We had the first Thanksgiving. We've got the first Camino Real. So it's really exciting, the history that we have here and what took place from Thursday, April 30th, 1598, when Oñate celebrated the Latoma. Just a really exciting little piece of history.
That Camino Real ultimately became known as the Chihuahua Trail, which connected the community of Chihuahua City all the way up to Santa Fe, New Mexico territory.
All right, Bernie, I'm going to put you on hold.
Yeah, the Santa Fe Trail extended from St. Louis all the way over to Chihuahua City.
Bernie, back off your mic just a little bit. You're over-modulating. Let's go to the next picture there, number 10. And, just back off your mic slightly. You're hitting us too hard. And look at the next picture there. What we have there, that's a picture of the El Paso area with the missions, and you'll see both the rivers before and after. They're both on there, even though one dried up as the other one came online. The one to the north or to the right, that was the original. And so what the Spaniards did, they put all these Indians down on the Mission Trail. It became the Mission Trail. They put them all down there, what was just up against the river. Well, guess what? What happened next, Bernie?
Well, originally on the south side of the river, but over time, the river changed directions.
That
was one of the problems that we had with the Rio Grande River until the 1960s is the changing of the channel. What ended up happening for a short period of time is the missions and the Presidio were on an island. In fact, San Elizario, was the Presidio at the far southeastern end of the chain of missions that we know of today. And so we had literally a branch of the Rio Grande going north of it and south of it, but ultimately permanently fixed itself to the south side, which pushed the Presidio and the two missions in El Paso and left the mission of Santa Cruz in Mexico. And that's how we ended up having the missions in the United States.
Well, also, that encroachment going south, constantly the river moving south, gave a whole lot of land to the United States or Texas at the same time. It gave a whole lot of land to the Norteamericanos that the Mexican people said, wait a minute, that was our land. Give us some compensation. So that ended up in the Chamizal Treaty, ultimately, mm-hmm. years later. And that was settled in the mid-1960s, first by President Kennedy, and then Johnson signed it. And that turned out to be a very big deal, having one of the longest borders in the world, that two powers, major superpower United States, and their neighbors settled it peacefully. And that's where we have the Chamizal Memorial now. That's what that was all about. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. And part of the agreement was that Mexico would establish permanent parks on the south side of the Rio Grande for the Mexican citizens to enjoy in perpetuity. And you can see that when you drive along the river, wherever you have opportunities to look over there. Or if you're up on the Rim Road, you can look down and you can see the parks along the south side of the river. So it's kind of a nice arrangement for both sides of the border.
All right, let's real quick go to the next couple of pictures. We have our own Tiguas baking bread. They showed up as part of a, quote, Pueblo revolt. And we covered that last mm-hmm. August. If you want to go hear that show, it's on aphistory.com on an audio. But what happened was these conquistadors pushed up through here and went up and established in northern New Mexico a major they took over the land, took over the people. They had better weapons. Well, after about 80 years of that, the people said, to heck with you, we're going to revolt. So the Pueblos all revolted at one time, and they kicked out the Spaniards, killed about 400 or 500 of them immediately. The rest of them said, hey, peace, we're going to run out of here. So the major group of Spaniards that was left ran out of northern New Mexico back to El Paso. That's why the Pueblo Revolt is big time our history. And that became the reason the Tiguas showed up. Because when the Spaniards came back in down south in 1680, they pulled the Sleta Indians, the Sleta with an I, at the southern part of Albuquerque. They pulled that tribe out and said, you're coming with us. And a lot of them said, okay, yes. A lot of them said, okay, no. Well, they came anyway. And that's how the Tiguas got here. So I put the bed-breaking dude there. That's Tomas Silvas. He's a great guy. But that bread-baking thing is something, one of their traditions. So comment real quick on 10A, if you would, Bernie, the four missions, or the four, shall we say, churches.
Churches? I'm not seeing that picture online just yet.
No, you will. It's number 10 on your page, 10A.
Yeah, we got 10A.
It's on your page.
I'm sitting in the kitchen, yeah. Well, as you mentioned, we've got the Isleta del Sur mission, which Isleta del Sur is a little river in the south, and little island in the south. That was one of the early missions dating back to the 1680s, and also along with Socorro Mission, and was followed by the San Elizario or San Elciario, as they called it back in the day, which was a presidio. Oftentimes people refer to it as a mission, but it was actually a fortress.
I see what I did there. There's two pictures we put up of the Socorro Mission, one old and one new. Fair enough. Taking a break here. We've got to do one more break before we get out. Bernie, we're going to have to zip through some of these pictures here. There's a lot to talk about because El Paso has got an incredible amount of history. We'll do the best we can. All right, Andrew, you ready, Ryan? Ready in there? 3, 2, 1, take a break.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to... You are listening to a break in our Facebook streaming of the El Paso History Radio Show. which airs live on KTSM AM 690 in El Paso, Texas, and live right here now on our El Paso History Radio Show page on Facebook.com.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
This radio show is now streaming on the Facebook page, Remember in El Paso When, run by Barbara Given Bainey. We still archive the audio of these radio shows on ephistory.com. And you can go there online and find our radio shows for the last several years. Go to ephistory.com and access the El Paso History Radio Show archives for every Saturday radio show back to early 2016.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to youtube.com/ElPasoHistoryTV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso. Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
You are listening to a break in our Facebook streaming of the El Paso History Radio Show, which airs live on KTSM AM 690 in El Paso, Texas, and live with video right here on our El Paso History Radio Show page on Facebook.
A quick shout out to McGoffin Home. We like to do that every show when we can. It's the only house museum in El Paso. It's the state historic site, one of two in the county. And get a hold of them. You want to take a tour. That's a great house to go through. Have all the older, most of the original furniture in there. And it's an incredible territorial-style home. Take a look at it, 1120 McGoffin Avenue, or go in there by calling 533-5147. Make an appointment to get in there. All right, what you got, Melissa?
Well, I just wanted, we've got some people here on Facebook I wanted to point out. We've got Zachary Sokolowski. He's actually here in El Paso. I misunderstood that. Let's see. Dale Hansen, he grew up in El Paso. He's the one that's in Shirts, Texas. Linda Hartgoggin, good morning, Linda. Let's see. We've got some other great people on here. Mark Flores. Hey, Mark, how are you doing? Let's see. It's just amazing. It's hard to keep track of all you guys who are on here today. Oh, Jamie Coppinger. I think I mentioned their name. Irene Cerna from Tempe, Arizona.
Oh, the first guy on there, Vince.
Pardon?
Vince Sanchez, the first guy on the list up there. Hello, Vince.
Yep. It's he and Gogi this morning. Yeah, Brown Acres.
Brown Acres. Oh, my God.
Lovely Clint.
I love it. All right, back to the ideas with Bernie. We got a couple of things to look at here. Put up this the screen there, Andrew, number 11. And what it is a sort of a map of the Franklin Mountains, a big time. What are you doing here, making noises? Put a map of the Franklins up there, and it's got pointing in all kinds of directions for little towns. And those little towns formed here, and they became El Paso. So what do you got? You got Concordia, you got Frontera, you got... Hello, Bernie.
Yeah, we've got a number of little communities that made up El Paso. We talk about, we mentioned East Leta, Socorro, and San Elizario, but as you mentioned, Concordia, which was also referred to as Stevensonville or Rancho Stevenson, Rancho Concordia. It was established by Hugh Stevenson, who is considered perhaps the first Anglo to come through El Paso as he traveled down the Santa Fe Trail to the Chihuahua Trail south into this area right here. He married into a very fairly affluent Mexican family and was able to procure several land grants, one of which is where the Concordia Cemetery is today, roughly 52 acres of the cemetery, but it was at one time about 200 acres. He also had a land grant that included property on the west side of El Paso up into Las Cruces, and he got some of that property from Ponce de Leon.
Oh.
And then ultimately Anson Mills got the property, bought some of the property back from the Stevenson family on the west side of town.
Go around the map there. The map, got McGoffins, we're about out of time. McGoffinsville, yeah. Franklin, Hearts Mill, Frontera. McGoffinsville was where the McGoffins lived. Originally.
Yes, it was. Well, James Wiley, they built the house in the 1870s. So James Wiley McGoffin, Joseph McGoffin, one of our first mayors, and he was mayor several times of El Paso, actually built the home. James Wiley, his father, who was the explorer I just mentioned, the tradesman, he did not live in that particular place, and ultimately he's buried in, I believe, San Antonio, Texas. Franklin going around the corner. That was the one of the many early names of our community. It was the military called it post opposite of Paso del Norte, which is what was called initially. And Franklin was adopted from the name of a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Franklin Coons, who bought a nice piece of property from, again, going back to Ponce de Leon, his property that he had gotten early on in the 1820s.
And also the Franklin Mountains. The Franklin Mountains came from Hearts Mill was over there by where La Hacienda restaurant is, and Frontera was a crossing on the river by Keystone. So that completes
that. I'll pick that up after the break.
Okay.
I'll talk a little bit about Hearts Mill and Frontera after the break.
Fair enough.
Well, that'd be good.
Coming back after the break, we're going to do the history moment. Are you ready, Melissa?
I'm all ready for the history moment.
See you then after the news. Thank you all for bearing with us here.
Okay, see you soon.